It's a wonderful morning for me to be here again, me and my family. We thank our Lord and Savior for this wonderful time and a great opportunity to be able to come and stand before a great family in Christ. One of the things, you know, which I'm going to preach on Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 1 to 6. It's one of the scriptures when people will say, I remember yesterday when I was speaking with someone said, who would preach in Ecclesiastes? What do you want there? And I said, no, it's the word of God. I said, it's very fruitful and very important for us to share and preach. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. As we make way to that book of Ecclesiastes, it's something which we need to know this beautiful morning, that what the Lord has had for us. As I like the book of Ecclesiastes, it's one of the books which sometimes you wonder, what do you really want from that book of Ecclesiastes? And when you go back, you go in the books which King Solomon wrote, the book of Proverbs. I always use the book of Proverbs when I'm speaking with the youth. And when I'm doing my mentorship and discipleship, I always say, go to the book of Proverbs. After book of Proverbs, jump to the book of Ecclesiastes. And then now we can go together and speak. So let's bow our heads and pray as I open. Yes, our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you, Almighty Lord, that let it be your will as we'll be sharing your word. And Father, open up our hearts, our minds, that we'll be able to grasp and understand your word, and let it be fruitful, and let it be in our hearts, and let us put it into action and practice, Father, in our lives. Father, this is the food, Father, of our souls. Father, we thank you. As I will be sharing this gospel, your word of salvation, Father, let the Holy Spirit, Father, lead me, and also the Holy Spirit be with our people, your servants here, your children, Almighty Lord. Father, I thank you in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things which we learn in life, in which I gave this title, death. The title is death, from Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 1 to 6. Listen carefully as I read from the New American Standard Version. For I have taken all this to my heart and explained it, that righteous men, wise men, and their deeds are in the hand of God. Man does not know whether it will be love or hatred, anything awaits him. It is the same for all. There is one fate for the righteous and for the wicked, for the good, for the clean, and for the unclean, for the man who offers a sacrifice and for the one who does not sacrifice. As the good man is, so is the sinner. As the swearer is, so is the one who is afraid to swear. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that there is none, there is one fate for all men. Furthermore, the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil and insanity in their hearts throughout their lives. Afterwards, they go to the dead. For whoever is joined with all the living, there is hope. Surely, a live dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know they will die, but the dead do not know anything, nor have they any longer a reward, for their memory is forgotten. Indeed, their love, their hate, their zeal have already perished, and they will no longer have a share in all that is done under the sun. Amen. One thing we need to get to understand, we go back in the book of Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, we see, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning. All this has been done by God out of his own love. And then we go down, we are being told that God created day one, day two, day three, day four. And if you check in each and every day he created, he say it was good, it was good, it was good. Then after he created man, he said, it is very good. He added an adverb, very good. However, when a man was created, we know that God gave a man a command, in which in chapter 2, we see God telling Adam that from this tree, you shall not eat from it. For the day you shall eat from it, for surely you shall die. But as we go further, in Genesis chapter 3, we see men disobeying God's command. Men disobeying God's command. What do we see there? We see Satan coming in, and Satan coming to corrupt the image which God has created. And we see men falling into sin. Did Adam and Eve die right away? No, they did not die right away. They did not just eat the fruit and fell down and die. But something happened in their life. There was change which took place. One, eternal death took place. They were separated from God. There was no relationship with God. And then now, physical death was certain. Now to man, because sin has entered the world. As we go in chapter 4, we see, before we go in chapter 4, we see in chapter 3, God killing something to clothe Adam and Eve, the first death of animal. And then we go in chapter 4, we see the two brothers, the death of man. A brother killing his brother. Surely death was there. Death has arrived in this world which God has created. So now the questions which I can ask here is that, what do you fear most? Some will say, I fear snakes. I know my wife, she's scared of snakes. Even if she's in the car, say, no, it's just down there. She seems to come to my side as a driver. Because people, they know if a snake bites you, you die. Some say they are scared of heights. Because they fear if I fall down, death is certain. I'll die. Some, they fear swimming, like me. Because I know if I jump in the swimming pool, I don't know how to swim, I will drown, and certainly I will die. Some, they are afraid of sicknesses. We see the signs today are coming with many ideas and technologies of trying to sustain life. Hunger, war, guns, they are all over the place in this world. And then we continue to say, in this conclusion, we see that my conclusion is because all of these things leads to death. All of these things which man is afraid of leads to death. Last year, we see even the great men, the ones we can say, think of that they are wise when COVID came into existence. We see lots of things which have been passed, rules and regulations, still today in other areas is still very tight, because all is because a man is afraid of dying. So this is where now we are going in the book of Ecclesiastes, one of the men, the wisest man who ever lived in the world, King Solomon. And with his wisdom, we know what he did. We know what he did, Solomon. He has the wisdom of God. He has the wisdom, and one of the richest men who ever lived in this world. But what did he do? He had how many wives? And how many concubines? And many of those wives were not even the Jews. They were other of the other tribes. But now, he is the man now we find him writing in this book of Ecclesiastes. And now he says these things. So the title is Death. So we're going to see about 5 points which I'm going to mention today, which you are going to learn from these 6 verses. The first point, we see it in verses 1, which I said, the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God. The righteous and the wise, all together with their deeds, are in the hands of God. Solomon was the only wisest man ever lived on this earth. He experienced a lot of things, but one of his weaknesses was marrying lots of pagan women who led him into the worshipping of idols. The experience he had gave him insight on things as well. He looked at things and examined them, in which he then came into conclusion that God is sovereign. That God is sovereign. The sovereignty of God is one of the things we will all need to appreciate as depraved men. We are so depraved men, sinful men, rebellious against our Creator. We need to recognize the sovereignty of God. And he still loves us to the point that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, our Creator. To save us from his wrath, God is in absolute control of everything that is happening and taking place in heaven and earth. He is in control. That's why Solomon here is seeing the sovereignty of God, that there is nothing we can do. God is in control of everything. God knows everything. We can try with our own human wisdom, but God is in control. God is in charge. Who is the righteous and the wise here in verse 1? Because he said, "For I have taken all this to my heart and explained it, that righteous men and wise men and their deeds are in the hands of God." Who are these righteous men and the wise? Romans 3 from verses 10 to 12 tells us. It is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. Not even one. However, the righteous man is known by his or her character, conduct, or deeds. The one who trusts in the Lord Jesus is declared righteous. We see it in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. And also 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. The wise person is known by his character, conduct, and deeds. James 2, verse 14 tells us as well. Many people perform their righteousness in order to be seen by men. We see in the world the so-called celebrities. We see them trying to perform their righteousness so that we people can see that, oh, they are doing good deeds. But here, we see even Matthew, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, when Jesus was talking concerning these righteous people who goes in the marketplace and they wore their robes, their big robes, so that they can be seen by the people. James says, faith without works is useless. It is dead. Deeds before conversion are rubbish before God. We see in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. They do not earn you any merits from God. The righteous and the wise together with their deeds are in the hands of God. The hand of God signifies the power of God because He is the Creator. This whole earth, the whole universe is in the hands of God. He knows the future. He knows what is in our minds. So that shows the sovereignty of God. So what do we learn from this verse 1? How does it apply to us? The power of God controls the wise and the righteous. That's what we are seeing here. God is the one who controls the wise and the righteous. God is sovereign. Man does not know the future. Only God does. Whatever is awaiting for us in the future, only God knows. Who could have known that COVID was coming in 2020? None of us. And people thought maybe it was just 3 months, you know, then life goes back to normal, right? And then life moves on. But we are still, you know, enclosed with that virus. But God knows the future. Did COVID took God by surprise? Do we think so? No. God knows the future. He knows everything. For He is the one who gives and takes away. God gives, God takes. He is in control of what is coming. Both good and bad happens to the righteous and wise as well. We see in Psalm chapter 34, verse 19. And also, we see in Job's, in the book of Job as well, that there everything was in the hands of God. Certain, where are you coming from? I was down there, going to and fro, but have you seen my servant Job? Yes, I saw him, but what can I do? I can do nothing because you are protecting him. You are protecting him. So Job's theme is the sovereignty of God, or is in the hands of God. We saw that if we read the book of Job, Job's life. With this being said, so this leads us to verse 2 and verse 3, our second point, which I say the same event. The same event. It is the same for all. Verse 2. It is the same for all. There is one fate for the righteous and for the wicked, for the good, for the clean, and for the unclean, for the man who offers a sacrifice and for the one who does not sacrifice. As the good man is, so is the sinner. As the swearer is, so is the one who is afraid to swear. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that there is one fate for all men. Furthermore, the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil, and insanity is in their hearts throughout their lives. Afterwards, they go to the dead. So here in verses 2, 3, the same event for all. What is it? What is it? What is that same event for all? The same event happens to all. We see in verse 3. In verse 2, we see the same event. In verse 3, we see the same event happens to all. Who is this all? The same event or fate is an evil in all that is done under the sun. What is this event or fate? The most feared thing with many kind, even animals too, is death. You go in Kruger, will you walk in Kruger? Why are you scared to walk in Kruger? Snakes? Why are you scared to walk in Kruger? To just get out of your car and start walking to go to that what go that place, Sabi, Lower Sabi. Enjoying the nature. Because you know for certain that there is death. There might be lions there. There might be elephants there. There might be cheetahs. There might be what? Leopards. All those animals can attack you because they are carnivorous. You will be a free meal at dinner. But human beings and animals, we are all scared of dying. Death is certain. It is real. That's why it is feared. It is evil. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 14. All the living will experience death someday. Who or what is our enemy? Death is our enemy, not our friend. It is Jesus' enemy, and this is the last enemy he will destroy. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, verses 55 to 57. We also see in Revelation chapter 20, verse 14, there shall be no more death in the new creation. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. In Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis chapter 2, there was no death. Now man is living in the period of Genesis chapter 3 to Revelation 20, where there is evil, where there is sin, where there is death, but death will be destroyed. Will be destroyed. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 10. There are other enemies of ours we are fighting with daily, flesh and blood. We are fighting the world. We are fighting Satan. Death is an event. It is our fate. It is the same event or fate for all, whether you are the righteous or wicked, good or evil, death is certain. Where are the people we Jesus raised? Do we see them today? We don't see them today. Because the flesh has to die. The flesh has to go. Dust you came from, dust you shall return. But those people, where they have the relationship with Christ, they are in heaven. They will not face eternal death. They will have eternal life. The reason why we are having death is because Adam disobeyed God's command in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. And because of this, God cursed the world, including men, Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. The first death was on animal when God killed the animal. That makes Adam screw by clothing Adam and Eve, Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. And the first death on man when Cain killed his brother because of jealousy and disobedience of God's command, Genesis chapter 4, verse 8. The point is, everyone will face physical death unless Jesus comes in his time. If you ask yourself, who is lying in the grave? Have you ever thought about when you pass or visit at the graveyard, evil and wicked, righteous and wise, religious and regenerated, old and young? You go to the graveyard, they are all there. Don't you think those people wanted to leave? They also wanted to leave. But their time came and death took part. One of the above, we are representing either of the group. So yourself, what do you prefer, life or death? Then why are you bringing so many distractions in your life? Come to Jesus while there is still time. He is calling you through his under-shepherds, the pastors. Every day, they are proclaiming the gospel of salvation. It's going over and over, being preached, so that come and come while the gates are still open, because the time will come. The time will come. With this being said, it leads us to the third point, which we are learning today. That one, we still find it again in verse 3, which said the sinfulness of man. The sinfulness of man. In this verse, we are seeing the condition of a human heart being displayed here. The hearts of the children of men are full of evil. Brothers and sisters, we see what the world is. Sometimes you can look, when we are here in Africa, we look what happens in the West. And then you look their policies which they are passing. You can see even the fight which is happening with the Disney World. With all what they want to pass, the cartoons with our children watch. They are trying by all means to penetrate and putting the rules, certain things, to remove the gender. There's no female, there's no man. We are removing them in our movies. And then you find all those things, right? They come here down over the world. These big companies, the Facebooks, the YouTubes, Google, you can name them. They are so powerful that you cannot say the truth. You say the truth, they persecute you. You stand for the truth, you are persecuted. They are coming. Why? Because the hearts of the children of men are full of evil. Full of evil. Sometimes you see the wars, guns being raging and raging all over the world, different nations. Because some people, they just love to see people dying. Solomon is referring to these children as the son of man, not God. Do you see something here? He's saying the sons of men, not of God. Because there is a difference there. There's a difference, a big difference. Why is he saying the sons of God, the sons of men? Because man is corrupt and totally depraved. And this is rooted in their hearts. Their hearts are so evil. They hate the truth. The heart is deceitful and wicked. The heart of man is full of evil and madness. We see in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 17, chapter 2, verse 12, chapter 7, verse 12 again. Unsaved children of men live with hearts full of evil and insanity. This is what we call spiritual death. They are dead in spirit, completely dead. Sometimes you speak, when you speak with somebody who is spiritually dead, sometimes you go there, you speak with that person, you're just like, hey, I'm just wasting my time. As much as you can try to reason, you can say, this is a donkey. That person will say, it's not a donkey. You refuse a donkey while it's looking at here. They say, that's not a donkey. Who said it's a donkey? That's what we are seeing in this world today. This is a female. This is a man. I said, no, that's not a man. There is no absolute truth. That's what they tell you. There's no absolute truth. Why? Because the hearts of men are so evil and insanity. This is what we call spiritual death. Their lives, they live in a separation complete with God. Opposite. They have no relationship with their Creator. They do not even understand the things of God. And the bad thing is that they will enter death in that condition. This means that if you die with a heart full of evil or sin and madness, you are forever separated from God, who is your Creator. You will be in hell forever. And we see in Romans chapter, I like when you, I heard that you are going through the book of Romans. It's one of the difficult books. But if you go in Romans chapter 1, from verses 18 to 32, you see what Paul is saying. God gave them over to their what? Exactly. He gave them over. Because the hearts of men, the hearts of the children of men, the sons of men, they exchange what is truth with what is what? Lie. They exchange God, who is the one who created, and they replaced him with an animal, to worship an animal. God then gave them over to their sinful desired heart. And this leads us to the fourth point in verse 4, the living hope or salvation. The living hope or salvation. In verse 4, it reads, "For whoever is joined with all the living, there is hope. Surely, a live dog is better than a dead lion." It might be a dog which doesn't bite, but which one is better? Because a lion which is dead is useless. It's no longer worth anything, right? It's no longer even, it doesn't scare you, right? They may be corrupt and totally depraved, but there is still hope. Go here. They might be, the sons of men might be depraved, totally corrupt, but there is still hope. Where is this hope come from? The future is still before them, for they are not yet dead. Those who are alive, change is still possible for them because the gospel is still before their reach. That's why we are proclaiming the gospel. That's why we are preaching the gospel. In the working places where you go, you are still speaking and proclaiming the gospel to the people, right? So the gospel is still before their reach. Salvation by faith in Christ alone is still available because the Lord Jesus is the hope of glory. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. What is hope? What are you hoping for? The Christian hope is a living hope. The Christian hope is a living hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3, verses 13, and verses 21. And also verses chapter 3 and verses 15. The Christian hope does not disappoint. We see in Romans chapter 8, verses 23 to 25. Hope of meeting our Savior is there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But we need to understand that there is false hope also, and many unsaved are resting on that hope. There is true hope. living hope and there is false hope. I am a Christian because I was baptized as an infant. I was baptized as an infant. That's a false hope. I'm going to heaven because I grew up in church. That's a false hope. I do give people the food to eat. I love people. Those are false hope. This figure of speech here, which we are seeing, for a living dog is better than a lion, a dead lion, because there is no hope for a dead lion. There is no hope for a dead lion. No one is scared of it because it is harmless. So as living dog is better, even if it is not vicious or violent or even toothless, it is far much better because it can scare people away by its movements. Solomon is showing us that he prefers life than enjoyment of life. He has seen it all, Solomon. He had all the riches, he had all the money, the gold, everything he needed. But he saw it that he prefers life than enjoyment of life. That's what he is teaching us today. And with that being said, it leads us to our last point, verses 5 to verse 6. The living know that they will die. Separation. There is an absolute separation here between the body and the soul. This is a universal knowledge. Universal knowledge. The living know that they will die in verse 5. How do they know that? The word of God says so in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. The day you shall eat of this tree, for surely you shall die. In verse 3, in chapter 3, verse 19 of Genesis, we see that, you know what? Dust you came from, dust you shall return. And also, in chapter 4 of Genesis, we see Cain killing Abel. We see killing Abel. The evidence of death is there in Genesis chapter 4, verse 8, in Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 to 30. And also, we go to the graveyards, we see that death is certain. So you better make it right with God. If you are not right before Him, there is still hope of salvation in Jesus Christ alone. If you are a child of God, keep on hoping, trusting, and loving the Lord Jesus Christ, for in Him there is eternal life. There is contrast here, but the living contrasted with the dead. But the dead know nothing. They have no more reward. Their memories are forgotten. Their love has perished. For all eternity, the unsaved dead have no more share in all that is done under the sun. The story of Lazarus and the rich man in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 33. But what is important is to remember that life continues in their absence. So, in conclusion here, to see what we learn as believers today, death is the cut-off point of hope. No matter how health or active, rich or well-connected today, you are genuinely at death's door. Living is for your own sake. Not living, for hell is awaiting for you. What should you do? One, faith. You need faith for salvation and ascension. Two, hope. You need hope in Jesus Christ. This will keep you saved and patiently waiting for death and the coming of Jesus. Three, love. You need the love of God for relationship with God and service. The call for repentance and faith is in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ is universal. The Lord is not pleased with the death of a wicked. We see it in Ezekiel of a wicked man. We see it in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 10 to 11. Precious is the in the sight of the Lord is the death of his righteous, the saints, in Psalm chapter 116, verse 15. Jesus tasted death and even rose from the dead, which is a sign of for our hope that there is life after death in Christ. Jesus' death accomplished this. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery of their life. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 to 15. The purpose of Jesus' death is redemption and to bring us to God. 1 Peter 3, verse 18. Therefore, welcome death with hope of meeting Jesus and the joy of glorified, perfect bodies, which we are promised in the book, what you see in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 to 4, 50 to 57. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our Lord and Savior, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, as you speak with us, as we're hearing King Solomon writing to us from this book of Ecclesiastes, that this everything is in your hands. You are in control of everything. And we see that, Father, the fate for all, no matter who you are, what you are, what you have, the same event for all is death. We will all gonna die one day, but we need to be reminded that there is hope while at least we are here living in this world. Father, that small time you have given us, Almighty Lord, we pray that, Father, we live it fruitful. We live in a way that glorifies you. We live in a way that, Father, honors you. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I pray that those, Father, who are not here today, Father, be with them, Father, in different areas, Almighty Lord, where they are. And Father, those who are here, Almighty Lord, let them, Father, this word which they hear, heard today, that let it be a living word in their lives. Father, I thank you. In Christ Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Okay, thank you.